Small details or big surfaces, tight corners or odd shapes, flat, rounded, textured, or tall. Whatever your next project, there's a spray paint pattern that's just right. Because Rust-Oleum's new Custom Spray 5-in-1 gives you control with 5 different spray patterns. So you can tackle nooks, crannies, edges, and curves without worrying about drips, runs, uneven coverage, or anything else. Custom Spray 5-in-1. Only from Rust-Oleum.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast from TalkSport.
This is Paul Hawksby, and this is the H&J Daily with some of the best bits of this afternoon's show. Well, obviously, Andy and I had a look back over the Premier League weekend. Away from the Premier League, Sutton United were promoted to the Football League from the conference, and we spoke to their celebrity fan. Their celebrity fan. Tim Vine joined us. We chatted to him. We had some clips of the midweek pewter for you, and there were some good ones in there. Andy and I just rabbited on about nothing much in particular, and we'll bring you that as well. Here it all is. Good afternoon, everyone. Good afternoon, Andy. A very nervy day for you yesterday afternoon until Gareth Bale came to the rescue.
Bailed us out, didn't he? Thank you very much.
He certainly did, yes.
Honestly, that was just a microcosm of the whole season for Chelsea. Yeah.
Good job you haven't got a game left to play, eh?
It's ridiculous. I mean, honestly, I went to the doctor recently and my blood pressure's a little bit high. I know what it is. It's Timo Werner.
Is that what he's done to you?
He's killing me.
That's a great headline. That's a headline. Timo Werner is killing me.
There's your podcast
for today. Yeah.
The Times said, Mount missed a couple of chances in the first half. The Times said, Mount missed Chelsea's one chance in the first half. One? They had at least five. I don't know what games these reporters go to. You could not Chelsea had one chance.
I've just got this image of you in hospital with high blood pressure. Perish the thought, of course. And then suddenly you're just dozing off and you hear, yeah, he's just in that corner bed over there. And then here he is, bunch of flowers, hard-boiled eggs and nuts. It's Timo Werner.
It's Timo Werner.
I couldn't talk, Andy. Just apologising for basically putting you in hospital.
But, you know, it's so funny. You're watching the game and then suddenly they cut to Leicester and there's Kane. He's so clinical. Yeah. You think, no Chelsea player could do what Kane did with that first goal. Not at all. I mean, I know he won't come to Chelsea,
but if he did.
Honestly, I promise you, I mean, what a season he's had, Harry Kane. If he actually does go to City, he's going to get 50 goals.
Well, no, that's
the way
what,
they play, the chances they create.
I think that's what he was hinting at the other day. But maybe we can do enough in the summer to twist his arm. But I do say, you don't often hug two of your oldest teammates and friends for a full 30 seconds on the centre circle after you've beaten Leicester on the last day of the season, really, do you? It didn't quite feel
I think
like
he clearly
that.
Wants to go. I mean, it was interesting to hear Glenn Hoddle on Breakfast saying, you know, well, he might not be able to go. You know, and of course he's right, Glenn. You know, he has got 3 years on his contract. But, you know, in the end, what good does it do to keep an unhappy player? And it's difficult. But anyway, we'll see.
Andy, just one thing on that subject. It does fit quite nicely with something we want to get the listeners going on this afternoon. Harry Redknapp and his son, Colin, yesterday, was talking about when players want to leave and how difficult it is to get them to kind of concentrate and stay when they don't want to be there. And he said there was a player, he said a very well-known player whose name I'll keep quiet. And I was thinking, I wish you hadn't.
Yeah.
He wanted to move from the club I was manager of. And he said to me, if you don't sell me, I'll put one in my own goal. I mean, that is low, isn't it? That is low for a professional footballer. And next time I see Harry, I won't pass it on, but I will try and eke out of him.
I think I know who that is. I'm not going to say, but I think I know.
Well, we're all keeping this sort of vow of
silence.
We've
got to, haven't we?
But anyway, we're interested to hear this afternoon about, did you ever deliberately score an own goal? And in what circumstance, isn't it? Maybe you were like 14-0 up in a meaningless game and you thought, you know what, just out of interest, I'll stick one in my own net. I mean, it's got to be deliberate. It's not just an own goal. It's got to be a deliberate own goal. I mentioned before, at my school, we had a lad when we were playing a junior school match. We were about 10, 11 years old. And one of the boys there felt that he'd been picked on by the teacher. I think we were about 4-0 up. And I saw his old bottom lip going. It was a bit Gazza, Italian 90. It was almost like have a word with him. So I thought, oh, he's going to start crying in a minute. So I passed to him, and he just suddenly, Forrest Gump, just took off in the other direction, running towards our keeper. No one knew what to do. They didn't know whether to tackle him or not. None of our boys were going to tackle him. And just crashed it into his own net, gave the old teacher the V, and then went off blubbing on the other side of the pitch. Went off and he got in a bit of trouble for that.
But well, the repercussions were there, yeah.
Well, I don't know. I can't, you know, they were quite brutal days. I don't know what happened then. But anyway, he did that. So we're interested to know in what circumstances did you score an own goal? Also, this may lead to something, Andy. Yesterday, with Tottenham 2-1 down and the season sort of, dwindling away, I thought, what can I do now? I was walking around the kitchen thinking, I can't concentrate on this anymore. I'm too low. So I'll go and do something that completely sums up our season. And it struck me that because we'd had such bad weather, I don't want to go into too much detail because it is lunchtime, but all dog owners will be aware if they have a garden that the poo pickup. This is the point. You go into the garden with a succession of bags and do the reverse bag situation, as Glenn probably called it on breakfast this morning. So I decided, and it had been a while, so I decided to go out and do that. What it was a microcosm of Tottenham season. I'll go and clear up dog dirt in the rain. It was like self-flagellation. But of course, I do all this and I pick it all up. And as I open the door to come back in, Kasper Schmeichel's just punching one in. Yeah. And then the game turns. So it now struck me that every time Tottenham are losing in a game, in the build-up to the game, I'm going to have to leave what the dog's done in the garden and then go out there. If I was as superstitious as you are, I'd have to go out and do the poo pickup. So look, is there something you have to do, something you have to do when it's going wrong for your team? Andy always used to stick a Chelsea shirt on. Like, that would make a difference.
Yeah, I've really done that this season. I've changed clothes. Yeah, yeah. Oh, it's hopeless.
It's ridiculous.
It's nothing works.
Get in touch on that and deliberately scoring an own goal. We'd love to hear from you. Talksport.com/H&J. Text to 81089 or tweet to TSH&J.
And in the Brentford game on Saturday, which I enjoyed, a terrific game, actually.
It was a good game, yeah.
Very good game. And I'm really... next Saturday, for me, could be the greatest day of my football-supporting career. Chelsea could win the Champions League and Brentford could be promoted. Or Swansea could win, and so could City.
Yeah.
It'll be one of those. But anyway, the red card by Meppham. I never understand players doing this. Christensen did this for Chelsea. And what is the point? Why don't you let Mbeumo go? If he scores, all right, it's 2-1. You've got 11 players to get the game back.
Yeah.
This way, you've had it. You've absolutely had it. You're down to 10 men. It was absolutely the stupidest red card I've ever seen. Just didn't need to do it. You had no idea whether Mbeumo would have scored. It was pointless. It's so early in the game. Yeah.
We've had one already. You wouldn't mind Timo Werner threatening to put one in his own net because he'd probably miss, says a Liverpool fan, possibly.
Well, Chelsea scored yesterday. The ball flashed across and it ended up at Chilwell, who put it in. But Werner went for it. If he had it, he would have headed it wide. He would have done it. He's just unbelievable. I mean, when he's offside, he scores. And when he's onside, he misses.
He could have won the golden boot if he'd stayed
on. It was very
interesting
to hear Chelsea fans defending him today. They all stop having a go at him. They're saying to people, you think even he thinks he's had a terrible season.
Yeah.
He was talking last week, said, I know I've been terrible, haven't I, really? But what can you do?
No, he's not a bad player. Oh, well. He'll come good. I scored an own goal on purpose, says Chad in Rams Bottoms, with a glancing header from a corner due to being dropped to the subs bench because of my attitude. We won the game easily, but the teacher who dropped me was the ref, and he came up to me and said, "You did that on purpose, didn't you?" To which I replied, "I know, sir. Childish, isn't it?"
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast from TalkSport.
Been telling us about scoring deliberate own goals. Harry Redknapp said in his Sun column yesterday that a player said, "Unless you sell me, I'll stick one in my own net. So deliberate own goals. Listener said, I taught a lad to drive about 29 years ago. He was a keeper for an under 18 team. A penalty was given against his team. He complained and got a yellow. He then saved the penalty. The ref ordered a retake for encroachment, at which point the goalkeeper picked up the ball, put it on the penalty spot and blasted it into his own net, saying, here, our ref, you got what you wanted. Second yellow, off. So that's a good story. So keep those coming. Danny, the Chelsea fan, was listening and he's got a story along similar lines. Good afternoon, Danny.
Good afternoon. Are you well?
Yeah, we're good. Yeah. Thank you. So what did you get up to, Danny?
I think it was 1995, Hazen High School versus All Saints. Mm. I'd already put two in the back of my own net. I was centre-half back then.
By accident, was not on purpose.
The two were. One took a wicked deflection and went one way. The other one was a torn. And the third one, we had a corner against us, and I thought, you know what, a hat-trick's a hat-trick, isn't it? And I, one for basking in glory and all that lot. But, I climbed up top of me centre-half partner's shoulders and fired it past Chris White and took back at net.
And scored. Didn't give you the match ball, of course, I take it. What did the coach say? What did your manager say?
I can still feel the eyes kind of burn inside of me. No, it's Mr. Lord, it was. He wasn't there. Wasn't overly pleased, but I didn't run off and celebrate. I just had a bit of. We were getting spanked 4-0 by then, anyway. So I thought, you know what, hat-tricks and hat-trick goals a goal. I think at 1995, I was in a high school, didn't have that many match balls, so I don't think they're up for getting hit me. So
brilliant.
I walked off, and I think I got a midweek reprieve for the following game for some reason. I've not quite. Not quite find out why I got dropped for next game.
I just love the mindset. You know, you've scored two own goals by accident. You think, you know, I know a hat trick's a hat trick. It's not many people think like that. So, Danny, good man. Thanks very much for your call. Yep.
All the best, chaps.
Cheers, Danny. Danny, the Chelsea fan. Keep those coming. Talksport.com.
Quite northern for a Chelsea fan.
Oh, yeah. We're a broad church, Andy. I should have asked him, really. There's probably some sort of family reason why. Talksport.com, text 81089, tweet TSH and Jake.
The Hawksby and Jacobs daily podcast from Talksport.
Hawksby and Andy Jacobs here on Talksport. Now, you may remember earlier in the season, Charlie Baker, Max Rushton's partner on a Saturday, and John Cadogan, our producer from the National Obsession podcast, went off to watch Torquay play Sutton. Torquay United very much in the ascendancy then. A little bit of S-housery from Charlie in the stands, despite being an invited guest. But it's Sutton who've had the last laugh. And even Charlie was magnanimous, saying, if we weren't going to go up, I'm glad it's them. And that's probably because of our next guest, Charlie's fellow comedian and Sutton United fan, the man who invited them that day, Tim Vine. Good afternoon, Tim.
It's a great pleasure. Thank you so much for having me on. And yes, the last memory I have of the time I invited them was, it was John and Charlie, and there was a Torquay legend whose name I forget who was with us as well, and they were threatening to start singing Torquay songs and stuff in the Sutton car park. And I did say to Charlie, fancy meeting in Torquay for a sing song.
So you've done it. I mean, after all these years, historic.
It really is, yeah. And when saying after all these years is a phrase that it gets bandied around sometimes when something's taken 8 years or something. But 123 years as a non-league club. Mm. And, you know, that's a very long time for a club to exist and be in one particular tier. And what I've been saying to people is that we can get rid of the word non. I mean, for all this time, we've been defined by the thing we weren't in. The non-league club. That word non goes, and we're a league club. I was at the game, and it never honestly looked that much in doubt. I mean, they just played so well. There was a confidence, no sort of sense of panic at any stage. It was brilliant to watch.
And I was reading about the club. I mean, it's typical of a non-league club. There's a real big family sort of effort, isn't it? Good feeling around the club.
Absolutely, yeah. And Bruce Elliott, the chairman, is hilarious. He's absolutely brilliant. But whenever I go there as a guest, it's funny actually. When I took Charlie and John, sorry to keep mentioning they were there and Torquay lost, but I mean rather won but lost overall. But they had lunch with us beforehand, and Bruce Elliott, the chairman, stood up and said, "Well, Charlie Baker is Tim's guest. This is a good impression, by the way. He's a comedian, apparently, although I've never heard of him. And Charlie looked slightly shocked, and I said, look, don't worry, he does this to everyone. And then he went through a list of everyone. So basically, you know, I'm sorry about the person who has to sit next to Tim, you know, so he goes for everyone. But he said, Charlie was first and thought, blimey, what have I done?
Well, we'll get. It sounds like it would be very entertaining in the old post-match press conferences. I mean, really, it was all about the boys of 89, wasn't it, who beat Coventry?
But, yes.
You know, in the nicest possible way, that's a sort of ghost that's been laid to rest. Because it was the only thing we knew the club for, wasn't it, really?
That's right, yeah. And perhaps then after that, you know, Arsenal coming and playing in 2016, that great cup run we had there was another special time. But this has got to trump them all because... you know, it's taking the club to totally uncharted territory. We've moved up into a totally different league. It's incredible, and it is the football league. I mean, of course, what happens about the pitch now? Stuff like that. We don't know. I guess it's probably going to have to come up.
Now it could be sour grapes, but our producer John, the talkie fan you mentioned earlier on, he said
John Cadogan, sour grapes, wasn't it?
Oh well, he basically said it does that pitch. If they kept it, would give them a real advantage. He said. It's not a very good plastic pitch either, so he is quite bitter. But
very bitter. When Arsenal came to Sutton and they were asked to comment about the plastic pitch, Arsene Wenger actually said, well, to be honest, we train on these things all the time, so we love it, you know. Mm. I think that teams are used to it. And also a plastic pitch back in the 80s. Remember when you used to go on one of those hard weather pitches?
Yeah.
And you fell over and the greys would go, you know, right up your entire body and you'd have to be taken to hospital. But I mean, now, they really are quite realistically. And I heard, here's a stat you probably already know, that even like a ground like Old Trafford is 5% plastic.
Yeah. That, well,
oh yeah, yeah, no, they've all their deso pitches.
He's having a go at the fans
pitches.
There, I think. But I mean, the trouble is, they will get to a stage. The communities rely so much close.
Yeah, I think it's a shame
on these pitches. But you know, maybe there is a feeling that if you're in, you know, if you're in League Two, you can have a plastic pitch if you want one. But I'm sure other League Two ground staff won't agree with that. But it does mean you get much more out of that, and you can do much more with a stadium,
that's right.
Doesn't it?
Yeah, that's it. It gets used throughout the week, you know, if you've got a grass pitch, you've got to protect it for the matches on the weekends, I guess. But I mean, it's. There's still time for the Football League to make an announcement. So let's hope they maybe make an announcement. We've decided it's all right to keep the plastic pitch. They can still say that. If you're listening, Football League, we'd like that.
Yeah. It seems unlikely.
It's difficult. There were 1,050 fans there yesterday, so it must have been a fantastic atmosphere.
It was a really great atmosphere, yeah. I was sitting next to Brian Barwick. How do you pronounce it? Barwick. Or
Barwick, that's right, yeah.
Because he was there. I actually wrote a joke with him, funnily enough.
Oh, did you?
Because an announcement came out over the tannoy system, said, well, car registration, Alpha, Lima, 349, Romeo, da-da-da-da. And I said, jokingly to Brian, I said, please get a shorter registration number. Because it's, you know, Alpha, Lima, as always actually says Alpha and Lima. And then Brian added to it, or topped it, by saying, it's blocking the car park. And I thought, this is great, we're writing material together.
That's very good. Yeah, we used to pitch comedy ideas to Brian. We never made him laugh, so you've got one over on us when he was at ITV.
That's true.
So, now, are you slightly worried that as Sutton's foremost celebrity supporter, you know, a few others might come out of the woodwork. There might be, you know, suddenly there might be other people who are suddenly celebrity Sutton fans. Now you're a league of glory hunting celebrities.
I would have to say quite the opposite, because my workload today, bizarrely, I get more attention from Sutton success than I do from any comedy success. I slowed under with interviews today.
Well, it's great, isn't it? Yeah.
I've got to do ITV news after this, genuinely. I've got to go down the ground and do ITV news.
Wow, it's brilliant, isn't it?
You are Mr.
Sutton. Could you become the face of Sutton United?
I know, that's a worry, isn't it?
It's marvellous. Well, Tim, are you going to be back out performing soon?
Yeah, well, hopefully my Plastic Elvis tour, my Elvis tribute thing, will start supposedly July the 8th, the first one in Worthing. But we wait, don't we, to see just what opening up actually means. We'll see.
Mm. I want to come and see
you.
You
were our last
that,
studio guest, so I think you should be our first studio guest.
Oh, that's right. Okay. Yeah, that's right. I'd love to come
before
back.
Before the lockdown,
Yeah.
All right, Tim, we'll catch up with you soon. All the best. Congratulations again.
Take care, chaps. Bye.
Tim Vine there. Well done to Sutton. Enjoy life in the Football League.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast from TalkSport on DAB Digital Radio and 1089 and 1053 AM. Hawksby and Jacobs on TalkSport. The TalkSport Clips of the Week.
Well, sort of, because these aren't fresh ones. These are from July 2010. Dusty old box of mini discs, if you've heard me say that before, apologies, but that's what they were. And we found these old clips, and the production staff have been putting... They're kind of pretty uncurated. It's not gold, it's pewter. But I'm told this week there's some pretty good stuff in there. So let's begin with Alan Brazil with England news.
Since Fabio Capello named his England squad over the weekend, two players, Paul Robinson and Wes Brom, have pulled out.
Oh, OK, right, fantastic.
Wes Brom.
Wes Brom, he's a lovely lad. I used to love Wes Brom.
What a great player.
Yeah, indeed.
Over to our athletics correspondent, Mike Parry now.
Now, we have got these guys like Mo Farah, got a gold in the 10,000 metres and the 5,000 metres. We've got Philippe Odu, triple jump champion, right?
Philippe Odu, yeah, I don't think that's particularly right, is it? Sticking with Mr. Parry, here he is with a caller.
Robert, you just mentioned Memphis there, so why don't you give us 10 seconds of Return to Memphis?
No, I'm not going to sing for you.
Return to Memphis. Not even the title of the song, is it? Really terrible.
This is racing expert Derek Tomo Thompson on Breakfast with Alan Brazil and Ronnie Irani.
Oh, guys, today, just quickly, can I just mention it? Wolverhampton, it's family fun day. They've got the Red Devils free-fall parachute team flying in. They've also got a SpongeBob, is there, Ronnie? And yes. SquarePants, is there?
Oh, that's good. They've got not just SpongeBob, but SquarePants as well. That's fantastic to have both of them there, really. That's marvellous.
Brilliant.
Here's a caller making a very valid point.
If you don't gamble on them, you'll never know. There's no point flogging a dead horse for 50 years. If you flog a dead horse for 50 years, he's going to end up dead.
Well, that's very true. It's very clever, that, mate.
Well, he started dead, didn't he, as you started flogging him?
That's true. Yeah, it doesn't take a great deal of scrutiny, does it, really?
It doesn't really, no. Here's Mike Parry and Mike Graham discussing the big issues of the day.
The only place in the world where German is spoken is in Germany.
That's not true.
It is true. Where else is it spoken?
It's spoken in Austria.
Austria is Germany.
Blimey. The geopolitical map redrawn by Mike Parry. What about that? Ronnie Irani now with some health advice for Mr. Brazil.
Taught him how to get rid of gout. Easy peasy gout. You've got to go on a chicken and fish diet for a whole year.
Really?
No alcohol, no red wine. No beer,
well,
no alcohol, full
well
stop.
Step off a cliff.
Alan, you knew he was thinking that, but you didn't think he'd actually say it out loud. What's next, Andy?
It's back to Mike Parry and Mike Graham.
If you wanted to make the philosophical point, as you do go further up the greasy pole, you make more enemies. It's simple as that.
Well, I'm afraid you do. And then remember, of course, the further you go up the greasy pole, once they re-grease the pole and you come down again, bang, and then you get what I would call broken anus syndrome as you hit the ground.
I don't think anybody else calls it that, Mike.
I've never heard of that one either.
That's a very weird turn of phrase. This is a caller. Goodness me. This is a caller to Alan Brazil on Breakfast.
And just a quick one for you. His dad has got a little bar what I've just opened, which is called Summerby's Bar.
Where?
Manchester, I'm guessing, really. I'm guessing. Yeah. I've never seen it's in Liverpool.
Desperately interested.
Something. Yeah, that's right. Yes. Where? Finally, tell me where.
Exactly. And finally, it's a caller to Overnights with Adrian Goldberg.
Yeah, let's get a Mary, who's in Ilford in Essex. Hello, Mary.
Good morning, Adrian.
I do.
Okay, would you like me to sing a little jingle for you?
Well, why not? Yeah, I haven't had one so far tonight.
Okay, then. Hold on.
Go on.
I love the Adrian Goldberg Show. It's on from 1 till 6. Lots of chatter and points of view. And then his bag of tricks. He's fantastic. That you'll agree. Pick up the phone and see. 7177 223344. And you'll be satisfied.
And if that's not entertainment, I don't know what is. Fantastic.
I prefer Martin Kellner.
That she was what a corker that was. Why don't you ever phone Martin? That sounded like one of the songs from the producer's musical. I don't know if Mel Brooks was listening that night. And they put that in. Yeah, it did sound a bit like that. But beautifully done. Was that Julie Waters? That was fantastic. Beautiful bit of acting there. Well, there we are. Posh Woman Sings Jingle on the Adrian Goldberg show. We like that one. So there we are. We'll bring you some more from those dusty old mini discs around the same time next week. Is there anything else you want to talk about, Andy?
Have you ever heard of main character energy?
Main character energy? Is this? Are they going to save me a fortune on my electricity and gas bill?
They could be.
Are they in the conference plate?
It's the biggest meme for Generation Z. It's been used over 5 billion times on TikTok.
Really? Yeah, TikTok. That's fair. You love TikTok, it. That's for the racing fans.
That's the betting one.
Is that the betting one, TikTok? Yeah. People making daft videos about gambling. It's brilliant.
Countless social media videos share this romanticizing voiceover. No, that's it. You have to start romanticizing your life. You have to start thinking of yourself as the main character. So you are your life is like a drama and you are the main character in the drama. Right. I'm not even best supporting actor.
Your life is a drama,
I'm not even an extra in mine.
You can, I mean, often coming into the studio, you can do at least 10 things that I wouldn't do in a lifetime. So I think you'd be very good on that. You know,
that's
your
very
life
possibly
is,
true.
Your life is a full-on drama.
And do you see that Fatty from the Bash Street Kids has been renamed Freddy?
Oh, I think he was always called Freddy, but no one called him it. I think they've just decided that, you know, it's a bit...
I think they should call him Flaky, it's a bit, as in Snowflakey.
It's a bit unkind on old Fatty, really, so they have done away with that. I'm so football, I'm always looking for stories, Andy, in the papers that I can share with you.
Oh, yeah, I know that feeling, yeah.
And then I read this thing, it said, part of a 2,000-year-old Celtic horse harness. I'm thinking, 2,000? And then I thought, oh, it's Celtic. It's Celtic, really. I just immediately read that as Celtic. I can't help myself, really.
Well, some people, honestly, the way they look at footballers and football. Mark Roberts of Northampton has written about Harry Kane. He said, what an ungrateful footballer Harry Kane is, stressing out Spurs and their fans with his desire to leave. If he had any loyalty and decency, he'd stay and try to win trophies.
Yeah.
Well, I think he's been trying to do that for about the last 4 years.
Yeah. I mean,
he?
I think most Tottenham fans wouldn't necessarily agree with that. Some might.
A bit harsh, isn't it, really?
The big story of the day, of course, featured in page 3 of The Sun. That's not that. It's a bloke finds massive chip. McCain's press department have really, this has been a rich scene for them because they obviously, a bit like the golden ticket in a Willy Wonka chocolate bar, they've been putting in a massive chip. And on the off chance that the person who finds it... Now, if I found a really long chip in a bag of chips, I'd eat it. I wouldn't necessarily ring a national newspaper. But they work on the basis, if they put a long chip in every bag, like about a foot long, at least someone will phone up the newspaper. And I was just interested in the anatomy of a story like this, how it gets into a national newspaper. All I'm thinking is Richard Leigh Flurry, known as Mac in the dressing room, 27, who found this 8.1-inch, brackets 20.5-centimetre chip in his bag of chips. As I said, rather than eating it, said to his missus, you know, I might ring the Sun with this big chip. And they're saying, well, why would it's a national news? Why would that be interesting to be? Oh, they've been doing big chips for ages now. So he phones up and speaks to James Somper, who's the person who wrote this piece, and said, hello, is that James Somper? I'm Richard Leigh Flurry. I've got an 8-inch chip in my bag of chips. And he's saying, well, okay, give me all the details. So he takes all the details. And can you send a picture of yourself holding it with a kind of comedy face? And he said, yeah, I can. He said, well, I can't promise anything. It really depends on if it's a quiet news day or not. So they're all sitting there in the office. And somebody comes over from the editorial staff and says, you got anything today, James? He said, not really. It's a bit quiet. He said, we probably need about 60, 70 words. Yeah, just anything with a little comedy picture. I've got a giant chip, got a giant McCain chip, not another one. Well, that's all I've got, really. I've got 80 words, Richard Leigh Flurry's found a big chip. That's it. That's really all I've got. And they said, no, leave it. And then suddenly, a minute left, something happened, and they said, yeah, we need your big chip. So in it went. So that's the only kind of system I can think of, something ends up in the National Post.
Oh, yeah. Right, the other day I was eating some Twiglets, and one of them remarkably had four legs and a head. It was like a little dog.
Oh, yeah.
So I took a photo of it because it was such an unusual. I said to the wife, look at this.
Send it to James Somper.
I did. And I was going to send it to the paper, and I just thought, oh, this is really stupid.
And it's not. It's gold. You could go viral with that. You could, honestly, you could make a fortune from it with your little dog shaped novelty. That would be good.
I don't know if you saw that picture of J-Lo going to the gym. And she was carrying a water bottle. It was so big. Really? She might as well carry a bucket. I don't know how much water do you need?
That would be great. A pail. taking a pail of water. That would be fantastic,
like a milkmaid,
wouldn't it?
Too.
Yeah. I've noticed that. The drinks bottles of the stars. I mean, they dehydrate massively. Why do they dehydrate so much? I've got no idea. But, just buy a small bottle and top it up a lot. That's the secret,
that's what
really.
You could do. Yeah. You see Erling Haaland. On his way to
the Monaco Grand Prix, dressed as Andy Pandy. Yeah,
I know.
Lovely look.
Yeah. What is it with people? Why would you dress like that? Yeah. Whoever designed that, honestly, forget it. And how you actually sold it, it's a miracle, really.
Yeah, indeed.
And still, there you go.
On a football point, Andy, I think a very good point made by Brentford. Making the point that they had 20,000 people at the FA Cup. You were part of them, Andy, the other week. 2 weeks later, with things moving on and more people vaccinated, the playoffs are going to be restricted to just 10,000 fans, apparently. So
I don't get that. Yeah. And I don't get also that Ascot, I was reading today, that Ascot and the Derby can only have 4,000 fans. I mean, it's a big open space. Mm. I think there needs to be so much more common sense with all this. You know, once you've had 20,000 at Wembley, mind you, it was very, to be fair to the FA, that was a real experiment. It was, everybody had to have tests and the whole bit. It was quite a performance. But I'm sure Brentford fans and Swansea fans would be quite happy to go through all that, the chance to see their team in the playoff final.
Yeah,
but there you go.
In terms of atmosphere, anyway.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast from TalkSport.
If you're looking for plump lips that last, you need to know about Juvederm lip fillers. With Juvederm Volbella XC and Juvederm Ultra XC, your lip look, whether it's subtle or bold, can last up to 1 full year with optimal treatment and no additional maintenance. Find a licensed specialist and see if it's right for you at Juvederm.com today. That's Juvederm.com. Add fullness to lips in adults over 21 with Juvederm Volbella XC or Juvederm Ultra XC. Do not use if you have severe allergies or a history of severe allergic reactions, or if you're allergic to lidocaine or the proteins used in Juvederm. Tell your doctor if you have a history of scarring or taking medicines that decrease the body's immune response or that can prolong bleeding. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. As with all fillers, there's a rare risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. For full, important safety information, visit Juvederm.com.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hey, everyone. Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast from TalkSport.
So there we are. That was this afternoon's show. We're back tomorrow with a bit of an England Euros squad announcement special with Stuart Pearce with us in the studio. If you can tune in, it'd be lovely if you can join us for one. If not, the podcast will be available around 5. Thanks for listening.
You've been listening to the Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast. Hear the guys every weekday between 1 and 4 p.m. on TalkSport.
Small details or big surfaces, tight corners or odd shapes, flat, rounded, textured, or tall. Whatever your next project, there's a spray paint pattern that's just right. Because Rust-Oleum's new Custom Spray 5-in-1 gives you control with 5 different spray patterns. So you can tackle nooks, crannies, edges, and curves without worrying about drips, runs, uneven coverage, or anything else. Custom Spray 5-in-1. Only from Rust-Oleum.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight, and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.